back at WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. This is our first piece of the new year, and what a piece it's going to be. Luke Jones joins us now. We're getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. People have been asking me when I'm going to G&A Coney Island Hot Dog, and the answer is next Thursday. So we're going to have all that together in conjunction with our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Still have a handful of scratch-offs left to give away, as well as our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation. I did have a crab cake at Costas last week during the holidays. Luke, I guess for Sunday Night Football and for the bright lights and the blackout and the Steelers in town and the tickets in demand because the Steelers fans, I don't know how many Steelers fans there were, but there are plenty. Mute, sound like yeep, and or pitta, we didn't do that one, but or goose. Luke is here, and he was there, and now we will wait for the outcome to figure out all of this, including game times next week. Boy, the league loves when it comes down like this to the end of the year. We used to say week 17. Now it's week 18. They've extended this thing out. The league always entertains, and even on a weekend where you're like, well, that team's got everything to play for, and that team's got nothing to play for, all of a sudden, the league's a little bit in disarray this week.
No question. I mean, it's always been this way, but when you add that third wild card team in the way that the league did a couple years ago, it leaves more teams in it, like the 7-8 Pittsburgh Steelers going into Sunday Night Football, a team that, you know, let's face it, a very low percent chance of making the playoffs, and still is the case after Sunday night's outcome, but you know, it leads to more drama. Now, I think we call a spade and say, okay, is it great that 500 teams have a chance to make the playoffs going in, or even sub 500 teams when you look at how the NFC South is shaped up over the course of the season? You know, it is what it is, right? People will watch. We know that. We saw that with the Christmas Day ratings with the NFL compared to the NBA and the NFL with not exactly attractive games. People watch regardless. And when you have a situation where you have games that mean something, and even a game like Ravens Steelers where, you know, the Ravens had already locked up a playoff spot. Pittsburgh, again, their playoff hopes were on life support, let's say. You know, I think it was, you know, most sites I saw, maybe 1%, 1.5%, 2%, something
like
that.
I'll use my joke right now. I thought they were eliminated like week 7, week 8. Did we eliminate them a long time ago?
Well, the Ravens didn't. I think everyone else, you know, everyone else other than the NFL eliminated them. And again, a reminder of Mike Tomlin, a reminder of this Steelers team. And I think to bring it back to what happened on Sunday night, this is a case of the Ravens being beaten by their own style, their own game, right? I mean, the strong running game, defense doing what the Pittsburgh defense was able to do against the Ravens, and they just did it better than the Ravens. They were the tougher football team, dare I say, on Sunday night. It really feels like it came down to that when you look at what the Steelers
were able to
do. I
like that running back
do.
Was tough. Yeah. You know, Najee Harris, it feels like, that dude, I like losing. You know, I mean, obviously, I have not seen a running back run that hard. And they're all trying to run hard. It's the National Football League. But man, that guy had a little extra pep in his step on Sunday night. He really did.
Yeah. Well, and Jalen Warren as well. You know, he had the big 31-yard run and made some plays as a receiver as well. So, I mean, it really was a case of the Steelers did what the Ravens tried to do, and they just did it better over the course of 60 minutes. Close game, 16-13, very Baltimore-Pittsburgh-like in that score. It was very, it was like that way. It was that way throughout. So you just look at it. And again, as I'm writing at BaltimorePositive.com, it really comes down to Ravens got beat their own style. You know, the Steelers beat them at their own game, really. And I think it is surprising. Not because Calais Campbell was out. Certainly that was a huge factor, but let's face it. I mean, they got run on for about 200 yards, just under 200 yards, most that an opponent had rushed for against them since Derrick Henry and the Titans in that 2019 playoff loss. And you have to go back to 2017 for a regular season game in which a team ran like that against the Ravens. So as you said it, Najee Harris, give him a lot of credit, also made a heck of a catch on a great throw by Kenny Pickett for the game winner. But I mean, it was really a case of the Steelers beating the Ravens at their own game. And, you know, it shouldn't be shocking in the grand scheme of things, as far as what Ravens Steelers has been for two decades now, but it is disappointing for the Ravens because they were in a position where You win your last two, regardless of Lamar being out and all the issues they've had on offense and all the blown leads earlier in the season. They had a chance to control their path to the AFC North, and instead they're watching the Bills play the Bengals and hoping for help on Monday night to keep that dream alive. So
I got some Bill Zubaz pants from back in the Jim Kelly era that Rasik gave me. I'll loan them out to you if you need them.
I remember you telling that story at one point, but it's disappointing because it was clearly a game that the Ravens led much of the way, and boy, they had opportunities. I mean, you think back to the Justice Hill kick return to the Pittsburgh 40 and where the Ravens were at that point in time. Just, I mean, any points, forget points. How about some first downs? Just be able to chew the clock and be able to run the ball effectively. And they were at absolute zero on offense for their, what, final four possessions when you really think about it. They came out, kicked the field goal to start the second half, and on their ensuing drive, J.K. Dobbins ran for, what, 22 yards, I think it was. And then they didn't get another first down until the Mark Andrews give himself up play on the final drive. So, I mean, their offense was a total zero after that field goal to start the second half. And the defense, boy, they did a lot of bending. They really got out physical, so to speak, you know, with their inability to stop the run. But they tried to hold up, and they did what they do inside the red zone until it finally broke at the end. So very disappointing. And I think it's one of those losses looking in the locker room. I mean, that was as defeated as it felt like, you know, that observing these guys after the game, that was about as defeated as I've seen them look. I mean, at least since the Giants game after week six, but the difference there was you still have the whole season in front of you. This is a case of, they know they're in the playoffs. They know their season's not over, but it hurts to lose that one. And again, as I said, the Steelers to beat them at their own game, I think that's very disheartening going into whatever week 18 means, and then knowing what lies ahead in the postseason after that.
I don't want to be the Chicken Little guy here, you know, after 25 years of having this radio station on Monday mornings after losses and holidays after losses and January Monday mornings after losses and season ending losses. The amazing part for me is that they had played well enough with Lamar to qualify for the playoffs, right? Like, and 7 out of 16, I mean, we're doing the math on this now. I mean, almost 50% of the teams are making the playoffs. So we shouldn't be shocked that 7 and 8, you know, 8 and 8 keeps you alive into week 18, right? We sort of knew that going in, this odd game where the 17th game is going to make it. So 8 and 9 is going to win a division before it's all over with. And it might next week, might win two divisions next week, right? So the notion that you're going to be the 3 seed as opposed to the 5 seed, as opposed to going to Jacksonville, as opposed to hosting, I don't know, one of the teams that's getting hotter, the Chargers. I'm making that up. Whoever's coming in, this team doesn't have some distinct home field advantage in the way that they play, in my mind, in the way that Ray Lewis and Terrell Suggs and Ed Reed did 15 years ago, where people gobbled up the tickets. They had playoff tickets on sale for 2 weeks and nobody's bought them. You know, because nobody believes they're going to use them. Probably believe it even less after you lose to the Steelers at home on Sunday night. But the belief in the team and the pathway for the team was always going to be, if you're going to win a Super Bowl, you're going to have to go to Kansas City and Buffalo and or Cincinnati. You're going to have to win two of those games probably on the road because you're not good enough to host it, right? So they sort of knew that going in. All of this angst about getting the home game 2 weeks from now as opposed to going to Jacksonville, if you can't win in Jacksonville in January, you're not a Super Bowl team. You know, I don't know that playing one game at home and all that they're going through here. And that's probably one of the reasons not rushing Lamar onto the field. And I don't know what's going on out there. I don't know who's practicing. I don't know who's working out. I don't, you know, any of that stuff. They bring you guys out and then they deke you. They lie to you. They decoy guys onto the field. They know you're watching. I mean, all of that, all of the paranoia that goes on in Owings Mills, the bottom line is you got to win 3 games later this month. And I don't care if you play them on the moon. I would say you don't want to go to Buffalo on a 9-degree night. You don't want to be in Kansas City when it's 21 degrees, especially with your quarterback who doesn't like the cold. But that's the real reality of this, that I don't feel like they lost that much losing to the Steelers. I never felt like they were going to win the division. I never felt like they were good enough to go to Cincinnati next week and win with a gimpy Lamar, with a first back Lamar, or with Lamar being Lamar. I've seen Cincinnati play, and we'll have a chance to do that late into the night as well and see how it affects our fate. But I'm not a Chicken Little guy about any of this because I understand the task. The task is probably go to Jacksonville and win. I think they can do that. If Lamar Jackson's standing, I think they can go to Jacksonville and they get Peters and Calais back, and that's a big if, right? That if they're comprised and mainly composed, they can win the first week. I've never thought they had anything more than a puncher's chance against Buffalo or Kansas City or Cincinnati once they're grooving. You know, if they're playing the way they're playing right now and they're playing like they were playing last year right now, that winning these games, they're not the better team. They're going to need two takeaways, a 60-yard field goal, and J.K. Dobbins to break two plays. And like, they're going to need miracles, Jacoby Jones, to win these kinds of games in the playoffs anyway. I don't know why it's so important that there's no buy involved, you know? So that's why I wouldn't feel that way about the clubhouse had I lost the game to the Steelers on Sunday night, because I think the season's far from over for them, but I do feel like they're overmatched. They're the fourth or fifth best team in the AFC, and that's a hard thing to navigate week after week in January if you got to go on the road. Now, they've done it a couple times, and they've done it as wild cards, right? So they've done this as an organization, and we've seen it in the past. I'm not blown away that they lost to the Steelers. I never believed they were winning the division to begin with, and I never really believed it would be all that much of a benefit. And that's, I haven't done a lot of radio the last 2 weeks, but that's really how I feel.
Fair enough. You made some fair points there. I mean, full disclosure, I thought they'd win the division, and it's not so much because of the Ravens. I thought it would be the Bengals navigating the second half schedule that they had, that they've navigated so admirably. Remarkably, really. Think about this. The Ravens have not played a team that currently has a winning record since they went up to the Meadowlands in week six. They've played the JV the second half of the season for the most part. You know, no disrespect to Mike Tomlin and the Steelers, but Nestor, they're 8-8, right? This is not a great Pittsburgh Steelers team. This is a better Pittsburgh Steelers team than it was back in week five, but it's still far from an impressive Pittsburgh team. So you just look down the list, and this even goes back to, you know, before Lamar Jackson gets hurt. And I mean, who have they played since the bye week? I mean, you know, they beat Tampa Bay and New Orleans back to back on the road before the bye. Kudos to them. That was really the last time that it felt like this team was getting close to clicking and firing as well as they possibly could. And that was even in the absence of the Rashad Bateman injury. So since then, they played a Carolina Panthers team that, since that game, released Baker Mayfield. Right. And that was a game they only won 13-3. They went to Jacksonville and lost. Trevor Lawrence, really the one kind of top tier quarterback that they've played over the last couple months. And we saw what he did against this defense in the fourth quarter. And we've seen what he's done since then. The Jacksonville Jaguars deserve a lot of credit. And the problem is, Nestor, you're suggesting the Ravens going to Jacksonville. Well, as it stands right now, they wouldn't. They would go to Cincinnati or whoever's going to be in the number three spot, because the Chargers currently have a tiebreaker over the Ravens with conference records. So it's not even going to Jacksonville. It's going to one of the big three in the AFC as it stands right now, depending on what happens and what week 18, what it means for the Ravens. So, but you go down the list, Denver. I mean, they fired their head coach since then. Russell Wilson, there's talk about whether the Broncos should move on from him this offseason, despite the contractual restrictions that and the ramifications of that. You know, they won at Pittsburgh. Great. Good. You know, that was the one win that they've had over the last month or so where you felt good about it. Then they lost at Cleveland. They beat the Falcons. Okay. And then they lose to Pittsburgh in the rematch. So my question is, and this really ties in appropriately with what you were just saying, what are you really hanging your hat on that you feel great about with this football team right now? Okay, they run the ball really well. Well, we've seen it. That doesn't equate to scoring points. This team can't score 17 points on a consistent basis. And this defense, as good as it is, and I think it's a good defense, I continue to lack belief that it's a special defense, the kind of defense that can catapult you to a deep run because, well, again, look at the quarterbacks, look at the offenses they've played over the second half of the season. And you can't, I understand you can't control your schedule, but at the same time, when, the one quarterback that's really kind of elevated his play down the stretch, Trevor Lawrence, well, that's the team that roasted this defense in the fourth quarter down in Jacksonville. So, you kind of look at this, and I know players are trying to say the right things, and Mark Andrews said after the game again that he still thinks this is a dangerous team. It's like, well, at some point you got to start showing it again. And I understand, believe me, I understand Lamar Jackson hasn't been out there. And this the Ravens aren't going to be at their best without their best player. Now imagine that. Big shock. However, look at it no further than what happened in Las Vegas on Sunday. The Raiders, who have been a dumpster fire at different points this year, they've lost all kinds of games in which they've led, in a way not terribly different from the Ravens, although certainly the Ravens much better overall body of work because they're going to the playoffs. But they started someone, Stidham, against the best defense in the NFL in the 49ers, and look how many points they scored. Now I get it, they lost, but why is it that another team that's playing a inexperienced, unaccomplished quarterback, their backup who taken over for Derek Carr, and we know Derek Carr is going to move on, or at least it appears that way, and they're able to put up all these points against the best defense in the NFL, yet we're looking at the Ravens with Tyler Huntley, and they barely function in a way that, they run the ball and they can score a few times, one touchdown, and that's that. And that's been the consistent. And it's not as though they're going up the against the 85 Bears defense every week. So that's disheartening right there. And again, that comes back on Greg Roman. That comes back on the players not executing. That comes back on the utter lack of talent at the wide receiver position. I mean, you just look at all of those things. And yes, if a healthy Lamar Jackson shows up, whether it's week 18 or wild card weekend, that the Ravens absolutely have better chances than what we're talking about now. But at the same time, so many of these flaws we've talked about with this team offensively, we were talking about that long before Lamar Jackson got hurt. It's been that much more magnified. And you remember just how special of a talent he is, even when he's not playing at his best, that this offense was still finding a way to, at least score 20 plus points for the most part. So it really is difficult when. And I'm with you. It's not as though it's stunning. I thought this was a coin flip. I picked 16-13 Ravens. It ended up being 16-13 Steelers. That's been the kiss of death for me all year in these close games. I picked, go with the opposite of what Luke says. That's how bad it's been for
Well, it's
me.
always
But
13-9, as Al Michaels or Mike Tirico pointed out. It's always 13-9. It's always 16-13. It's always 17-13. It's always a 4-point game. It's never three. It always needs to be a touchdown at the end, right?
no question, no question. But I just keep coming back to when you look at how this second half of the season has played out, and look, they've won more than they've lost. I don't want to make this out to be that they're a terrible football team. They're far from that. But what are you really hanging your hat on at this point that tells you that that's impressive from a standpoint of making a compelling argument for January? Okay, they beat the Bengals back in what was that? Week five. I mean, that was an eternity ago. Lamar Jackson threw 10 touchdown passes the first 3 weeks of the season. That might as well have been 5 years ago at this point. I mean, that was a, feels like it was a different season.
Lamar
So,
Jackson didn't walk on the field the month of December, did he?
right. Sure. I mean, yeah. I mean, availability is important. I saw you make that mention. It's important, especially at the quarterback position. It's important anywhere, but it's especially important there. So, you just look at this and, it's with Sunday being the latest example, it's just tough envisioning this team magically getting on the kind of roll that it's going to need to get onto. And, this goes back to what you said. If you have a home game at the start of that and you're playing a wild card team, does that make things more reasonable? I mean, I guess under the scenario where if you would avoid Cincinnati in that scenario, sure. But otherwise, it's just a, if you're going on the road and if you end up not being the number five seed and you're the sixth seed, then you're facing one of the big three in the first round. And then guess what? Chances are you're facing one of the big three in the next round. And then after that, who knows, if you find a way to somehow get past that. So we've said it for a long time, and it comes back to some of the same principles we've talked about with the passing game or other elements of this team that it's really difficult envisioning them being able to do that two, three, four times in a row to get to the promised land. And it just, you know, they just haven't profiled as that kind of team. And, you know, that's where, you know, I'll kind of come back to what you said. And you know, I don't disagree really. That wasn't stunning to lose Sunday night's game. It doesn't change anything from the standpoint of they're still
they
in the
go out and
playoffs.
Play with Tyler Huntley, no offense to Tyler Huntley, you know what I mean? Because I've seen them all going back to, you know, all the backups in the history of backups here. He's not very good. He's an undrafted free agent. He's running this high school offense, as Joe Flacco may have called it at some point, or gimmick offense, or academy offense, which is what Mike Tomlin called it. You know, all of a sudden you have to stop Navy on Sunday night, and that's how they play. I've watched it now for two seasons. I'm not all that impressed by Lamar. You know this, right? Like this, we don't throw really well, but we run really good. And like, I've never been all that impressed to think, oh my God, they're going to win a Super Bowl. Maybe back in 19 when Marshall Yanda and Ronnie Stanley's not pulling down Cam Hayward onto him to get a penalty that really changed the game, right? I mean, if it weren't for Ronnie Stanley pulling Cam Hayward down onto the pile, they might have never scored, right? They might still be looking for a touchdown against the Steelers. So I would just say I've been unimpressed with them this year all the way around, and that's why they entered a game 10-5, and you're like, wow, you know, like 10-5's heady in any season, but I have not been in love with this football team all year. And certainly, if you're telling me Tyler Huntley's going to play for a month in December, I'm going to say you're going to lose football games. I mean, they were winning games with him a couple weeks ago against bad teams, sure,
well,
right?
Right. Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, it's against bad teams.
But they're a bad team with him. If they had to play 17 games with Tyler Huntley, they'd go 4-13, maybe. Maybe because they only play the Browns a couple of days. I mean, they would not win a lot of games with Tyler Huntley as comprised right as they were on Sunday night. No,
yeah.
Campbell. I mean, Roquan Smith's a dream, right? He wasn't even on a team 8 weeks. He's not supposed to be here, but he is, right? So if they had to go out there and play with what they played with on Sunday night, start the season over again in Cincinnati on Sunday and play 17 games, they would be a horrible team. They wouldn't be 8-9. They would be horrible if Tyler Huntley was their quarterback for 17 games.
Yeah, I mean, unless you have a very forgiving schedule, I mean, it's tough to disagree with that. And, you know, again, it's not so much a knock on Tyler Huntley as much as it's a compliment to the special talents of Lamar Jackson. And, you know, we can talk about Lamar's deficiencies or this offense's deficiencies that we saw over the course of the season. You know, really from the moment Rashad Bateman got hurt. You know, I mean, I've talked about it over and over, what their passing game looked like the first 3 weeks of the season when Lamar throws 10 touchdown passes and what it's looked like since then.
Well, the Bengals will look different without Chase the rest of the year, too. And I'm not comparing Chase to Bateman,
sure.
Believe me, right?
Well, but the problem is the Bengals still have T. Higgins and they still have Tyler Boyd. I mean, they have what's called depth. The Ravens had no depth at wide receiver.
We have Sammy
this
Watkins
year.
And DeSean Jackson. And I'm telling you, 2015, that would have been good.
And they also gave Andy Isabella a touch. So there you go. Another a failed draft pick for another team. That they decided
you wanted
to bring
more
in.
James Prochet, you got more James Prochet is what
so,
you got.
But,
you want more Josh Oliver, you get more Josh Oliver.
Right.
You know?
But I just, you know, I go back to the example that I used, and that's where there is some frustration, and that's where there does need to be some heat on Greg Roman and this coaching staff that, you know, the Raiders benched their franchise quarterback. And I get it, Derek Carr, it's not as though he wasn't having a good season. And, you know, McDaniel wants his own guy, presumably, and we'll see what the Raiders end up doing at quarterback. But you know, why is it that Jarrett Stidham could come in and make a start and they score 34 points against a defense that's better than the Ravens? The 49ers have had a better defense than the Ravens all year. And you see that, yet the Ravens can't manage to score more than one touchdown every week now, you know, as it pertains to this last month with Tyler Huntley at quarterback. So is Jarrett Stidham that much better than Tyler Huntley? I mean, maybe he is, but you know, he hasn't played to this point in the league, and he's been around for a few years. So you see something like that, that's where it's frustrating to say, really? You can't even crack the 20-point barrier? I mean, really? And that's where I go back to, you know, the Ravens, you know, they want to run the ball. They want to try to play this style. And, well, the Steelers did a better job of playing this style on Sunday night. And you know, give Kenny Pickett credit. He was money when he needed to be at the end. He didn't do a whole lot over the course of the night, but you know, he did a pretty, at times he did a decent early Ben Roethlisberger impersonation in the sense that he was good moving around and throwing on the run. You know, Ben became much more of a pocket passer as his career progressed. But, you know, what we saw from Pickett, you know, I don't want to say he's exactly like Ben Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger is going to be a Hall of Famer, but he did some of those things that reminded you of what a young Roethlisberger did. And he was really good in crunch time, made a couple great throws on that final drive. And the Ravens defense that, you know, got beat up on the ground over the course of the entire night, you know, they gave up some big plays and broke at the very end. So still put much more of it on the offense, though. I mean, at the end of the day, you give up 16 points. In 2022, that should be enough. Well, your offense does nothing over its final four possessions, meaning not even getting first downs, really. It's disappointing. And it's why we're talking about the Ravens needing help to even determine if week 18 is going to mean anything, whether Lamar Jackson's ready to play or not.
He's Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke. It is 2023. I have to get used to saying that. Welcome into the new year. The Ravens will be in Cincinnati this week. Luke and I will be monitoring all things Owings Mills as they have qualified for the playoffs, and there will be some playoff football going on next weekend as well as some scheduling. Luke and I are trying to set the record straight here as we await Buffalo and Cincinnati as well. I am Nestor. We are WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive, and we never stop talking. BaltimorePositive.com.